This episode of Embodied contains explicit language. So yeah, now you know. Justin, host of Embodied. This week finds us once again in conversation with artist, entrepreneur, and cultural architect Damon Turner. So, if you haven't listened to the last conversation, which is the first episode entitled More Than Conquerors, make sure you go check that out. In this episode, we're going to be getting into a lot of stuff. Damon's new album, which is going to be coming out this summer, including a couple tracks from that album, KKPD and God. And so we're just really excited to be able to have this conversation with Damon and bring it straight to you, straight to your earbuds, straight to your car, speakers, wherever you listen to the podcast. So thank you again for listening to the podcast. And we hope that you enjoy this episode of Embodied. Without further ado, there's Damon.
We can't just change politics and everything else changes.
Right.
Like my brother Richard Reseda, who's serving time in Soledad, he was having a conversation with another brother around like Bernie Sanders or Hillary. Right.
Right.
And in this conversation, like they shifted to talk about reparations. And like, you know, the argument is not that reparations is going to ultimately change everything.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're talking about reparations, we need to be talking about, yes, a financial investment in our communities, but also like policies that support access to like building our shit up.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like investing in infrastructure, like not just like just throw them some stimulus money and then everything has changed.
Right.
And all things are forgiven.
Right.
No, the Jewish community has been invested in globally with not only resources like money, but like natural resources, military resources, and still getting backed by like major superpower countries to this day.
Right.
So that's why they're such a influential.
That's a precedent.
People. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
Imagine if black folks got that level of backing.
You know, it's interesting too, because I was reading, my son has this, a children's Bible, and we were reading about Zacchaeus and how Zacchaeus climbs up in the tree and he's the tax collector. And he's like, you know, he's the dude that's, you know, skimming off the top.
Right.
We all know that. We all know that happens. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
That's a real story.
Right.
He's taking taxes for the Romans, but he's taking more
right.
than he needs to.
Right.
So he gets up in this tree. Jesus says, "Oh, yo, can I come over to your house?
Come on down."
And he's like, "Do you know me? Are you sure you want to do that? Like,
right.
people don't like me."
Right. And the community said the same thing. Like,
yeah.
"What are you doing chilling with this nigga?"
Right. Yeah. This guy is the right. guy that's stealing from us, right?
Right.
So he goes up into his house, has dinner, and he's like, "Do you know who I am?" And he's like, "Yes. And I love you, and I still want to have dinner with you."
Mm.
And so as a result of experiencing that love, you know, Zacchaeus decides to give back what he stole.
Mm-hmm.
Four times over.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
So I'm reading that last night thinking like, yo, that's reparations right there. You know what I'm saying? Like that's, you know,
right.
that's reparations.
Right.
You know, like that's the, that, it's not so much about the money.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the like, yo,
mm-hmm.
what's right?
Yeah, man.
What is right? You know, and what is right in this moment is for you to say, look, we stole this.
Yeah, man.
We stole this from y'all,
yeah,
from
man.
Your ancestors, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And we know this won't fix everything,
right.
but it's the right thing to do.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's like the restorative justice model.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
let's make peace, you know, so that we can move forward.
Absolutely.
As opposed to being like, oh, yeah, just don't worry about it. You know? As if we can't really kind of like feel the effects of that 400,
right.
you know, years down the line. You
right.
know?
Right. 100%.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, that's, I think when you talk about the intersection of spirituality in this movement, like, there's all kinds of moments like that that exist, you know,
mm-hmm.
within Jesus's work
mm-hmm.
That I connect with, you know. But, you know, talk a little bit more about the movement. Like, what has been your role? We talked about music. We talked about cultural architect. But, like,
mm-hmm.
How did you get involved with the movement?
Yeah, yeah. So when George Zimmerman was acquitted for killing Trayvon Martin, I think a lot of people like turned up in their respective ways. But I was a part of the original conversations around the hashtag Black Lives Matter. Patrice Cullors and Alicia Garza were having a conversation on Facebook. Alicia posted a love letter to black folks and said, "Our lives matter, Black lives matter. I would never not, could basically never not feel the pain of when this happens. I would never say, oh, I knew it was going to happen, because it hurts every time." Patrice read the letter and in one of the comments, like, hashtagged it, hashtag Black Lives Matter.
Right.
So early on, I was always talking with Patrice around, and like other folks in LA, around what it means to have a cultural level of expression, whether it's like, let's do a party in the name of Turn Up for Black Lives, or like, you know, when Marissa Alexander was also in prison, around the same time, you know, we created a coalition called Justice for Trayvon Martin LA, and we had demands, and releasing Marissa Alexander was one of our demands. So I wrote a song called Marissa that was featuring my daughter, Titi Lyle. And the song went out, we pushed the song, and then we did a video for the song. It was like a silent protest that was featuring my daughter as well. And I was doing like mixtapes, graphic work, whatever. Uncle Leroy Hamilton was coming out. We did like read-ins in Leimert Park, because like the police occupied Leimert Park for a minute. So we ended up doing like a read-in. So I was doing like stuff with Uncle Leroy Hamilton's images. So early on, I was just trying to figure out the cultural narrative that should be present. And then fast forward a year when Mike Brown was murdered, like literally like on Twitter, like I'm seeing Ferguson being like a trending topic. And like I hollered at Patrice, like, "Yo, do you see what's going on in Ferguson right now? This shit is kind of crazy." And I think that night, that was around the time that J. Cole had put out the Be Free record. Yeah, man. So I ended up looping the Be Free record, and Patrice read another one of Alicia's letters. On that record. So just little things like that, man. Just like, how are we going to make sure that like we're creating something that can stimulate and nourish our souls while we deal with this political beast of a country that we live in. So, you know, my role has always just been like art and cultural work.
So who are some of the folks we should be paying attention to?
Oh, man.
That are doing movement work, but also doing great art at the same time.
Yeah, man.
Other than you and your work. You know what I'm saying?
At least folks that I know, man, shout out to like the Hands Up United folks out of Ferguson, like Tepo, Terra T, T-Dub, that whole squad, they've been able to give away so many books to children. And they have these amazing read-ins and books and breakfast programs. It's crazy. They've also like created this tech pro, man, they're doing a lot of dope stuff. Shout out to Ferguson. They have like a tech program, like young people can come in and learn coding, learn design, learn graphics, et cetera. And they're ultimately like pipelined out of there, and I believe into some other like bigger opportunities. So that's definitely like Fam Bam, Damon Davis, also out of St. Louis, Shiraz. I don't know why I want to say Shiraz Gomez. Her last name is not Gomez. Shiraz, please forgive me. But Shiraz is also a really sick poet out of St. Louis, doing a lot of work. Kayla Reed, their whole squad out there. Foremost in LA is doing some really dope stuff with his art. He's like a collagist who does some really crazy stuff. Climate Poetry out of New York. The whole like Blackout for Human Rights collective. I'm trying to think, man. You know what I mean? Just shout out to like a lot of the artists, man, who are on the come up, unafraid to be vocal about their politics. You know what I'm saying? Like Killer Mike, you know what I'm saying? Like went through hell to get to this point. You know what I'm saying? Like from being like the next out as like, you know, dubbed by Outkast as like, you know, the next out of Atlanta, and then like going and falling into this like underground realm, but like staying true to his politics, man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like this is a time now for a Killer Mike to like to get real crazy with it, or like a David Banner to put out the God Box. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I feel like young folks have created the space for a lot of this to happen. Hmm. You know, a lot of these quote unquote political artists to have like relevance today. You know what I'm saying? Trying to think, man, who else do folks need to be checking out for? I mean, the Queen L. Hearns, like she and I be having so many conversations around like how to incorporate like fashion, like the industry of fashion and like festivals into like a lot of this, the movement work, right? That of course centers the trans experience. You know what I'm saying? Like Aaron Lang is a phenomenal artist. Like it's, bruh, the list goes on.
On and on and on.
On and on and on and on. And you know, yeah, I just think it's time. Ripley Bennett, oh my God. Ripley, getting it, singer, songwriter, amazing. So yeah, man, those are some folks that people can like Google for sure, man. But yeah, it's a lot of folks out here doing some really good work, man.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know that. I just wanted to hear your curated list, you know. talk a little bit about Tef Poe for those folks who don't know, you know, because I feel like he's a really good example of an artist other than yourself who's out there making stuff. And we talked a little bit about this before we recorded, but like, who's out there in Ferguson, who's from Ferguson. He's not like just coming in, swooping in and trying to, you know, make some cash off of a situation. Like he's from, like, talk a little about Tef Poe and the work he's doing.
Man, that nigga whack. No, I'm just playing. Man, like, listen, man, when I heard that, first of all, when I met Tef, dude, like, he's a real dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, real down to earth and really passionate about what he believes in. This brother is one of the other ones who could have definitely gone like a particular route to success. You know what I'm saying? Like from having a major deal to like leaving the deal to like be in the streets with his people type shit. You know what I'm saying? And like and building his shit from the ground up, and like the whole Del Mar Records, like he built a record label out of St. Louis, and these cats is like slapping folks in the face with music right now, bro.
Right.
Like T-Dub just dropped a crazy album called The Drop, man. Like, I had to hit him. I was on Instagram, like, basically, like, like live updating him, like, bro, this shit is dope. I'm on this track. This is lit. Oh, this is lit. I love the narrative. I love, you know, they're really putting out good content, man. And, Tef is like, I mean, I don't know him, like, I haven't known him for years. But the moments that we're able to spend together, man, is like, it's genuine. I definitely feel that. And he's really smart.
Yeah.
Like, he's really, really smart. In his analysis of what's going on right now, and I think musically, man, like he got it. Like he has a formula. You know what I'm saying? Like a lot of the musical compositions that he makes is like war music. I mean, not trying to plug his War Machine like saga, but like it sounds like war music. Like he doesn't take his foot off the gas.
Nope.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like he is really like rapping like war drum music. So shout out to Tef, man, and his whole process, dude. Yeah.
But like that, I mean, even when you say that, like that's a lot of the music out there right now. It's just a different concept of the war. You know what I'm saying? Like whether it's in the streets or like, you know what I'm saying? That. You know what I'm saying? That. Like, what do you think about that?
I mean, I think a lot of the music that's out there now is like really sedating. Like it's really, it's really to like suppress what I'm really feeling. So whether it's content or whether it's like tempo or whether it's like the drums nigga use, you know what I'm saying? It's like shit is just kind of like, this makes me want to like, you know, sleep.
Yeah.
Right. Whether it's like, you know, it's that lean music. Right. But I think, you know, what Tef is doing is more similar to, I think, like the drill music that's coming out of Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, brrr, but Tef is just saying, I'm bratting at like the government.
Right. Hillary.
Like, at Hillary directly. Like,
right.
Like Joe Nixon, you know what I'm saying? Or Jay Nixon, Ben Carson.
I mean, he's the first cat that came out with like a diss track to a presidential candidate. Like that's, you know what I'm saying? Like if that's not the two worlds colliding, like what is, you know what I'm saying? Like he came at all the, he did a diss track for Jay Nixon.
He did a diss track for Jay Nixon. That was lit.
Well, he talked about on Combat Jack's podcast how Jay came for him by repeating. So he said in a speech, Tef Poe said in a speech, you know, this ain't your daddy's civil rights movement. This ain't your mama's civil rights movement.
Right.
And I guess Jay Nixon came out and said, you know, somebody said that this hates your silver mama's for, you know, right. So Def was like, what?
Right.
Like, you know, yeah, you're not going to step to me like that. So right. He came out, you know, and had his own track.
The only
like,
platform that he really has power in.
Right.
Like, he has power in the musical.
But platform. He made it a viable platform, you know, like, because he didn't come out and hold a press conference and say, I did not appreciate the things that, you know, Governor Jones. No, he didn't do that because that's not his art. That's not his art, you know, that's not his mode. So
Exactly.
I appreciate that about him is like, he doesn't split the two, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He keeps them unified.
Exactly, man. I mean, I feel like the same way about like people like Damon Davis, who's like a really dear brother of mine, and like and Sabah Jordan. Sabah is a phenomenal like writer, freaking creative. Oh man, academic. Like, she's super brilliant, and they're working on the documentary "Who Streets" together, which is the official documentary coming out of Ferguson, the uprising. The ways in which they're approaching this cinematography, bro, is like revolutionary in and of itself. You know what I'm saying? It's not like anything we've ever seen before. And just their approach to getting our content on new streams of media is the same thing I feel like Tef is doing with what he's, you know, he's utilizing SoundCloud to like blow up his message. Like, we have to be innovative right now, man. And if we are relying on mainstream media outlets to get our story out, then we're already missing the mark. You know what I mean? Like, we have to be creating our own platforms. And that's ultimately like what I tell a lot of the students that I speak in front of. It's like, listen, bro, like, I'm not here to talk to you about politics.
Right. Like, or who to vote for.
I don't care about all that kind of shit. What I do care about is you all linking up with people who are in the tech department, linking up with people who are in the cinematography departments, and figuring out how to create new ways that we can tell our stories.
Yeah.
Right? Because, and I often joke, I say, 'cause I will not get on any other national conference call until I know who started, like, who created the code that is encrypted enough for us to talk about sensitive information without getting fucking found out.
Yep.
Period. I'm not going to join any other groups on social media until I know who's the developer and is this a secure platform that if the government came and tried to subpoena them, they'll be like, well, we don't have access because we didn't get invited into it. You know what I mean? Like, who's going to draw that line, right?
Right.
And it's going to be these progressives who have the power, man, and the access to create. So,
yeah. I mean, and so we've talked about a lot of folks. Yeah. Let's talk about you, man. What do you, man, got? What do you got coming up? No. I mean, let's talk about you. You mentioned God. You have another track that came out called KKPD. And, you know, in both of those tracks, you talk a little bit about your embodiment in the world, you know, and, you talk about in KKPD about your body being a weapon.
Yeah.
So could you maybe, if you could, you know, give us the bars and then kind of break it down, you know, and what that process was like for you?
Yeah, for sure, man. So I think first and foremost, so like, I have a new project that I'm getting ready to release in the summer called The Declaration Rough Draft. And it is it's a testament of creating a new reality. My last project was called Young Life Crisis, and it was more talking about like my personal grief that I experienced after losing my mother. This particular record is like what happens when the grief is gone. You have to like live still.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So like, what world are you going to create? What are you going to declare over yourself? So KKPD is actually a record that Christian Scott composed. Shout out to Christian Scott and his quintets and his whole stretch music movement that he has going on.
Yeah. Brilliant album, by the way, stretch music.
Phenomenal record, bro. Like, I love it. So so this was like an old record. I was watching Christian Scott on NPR's Tiny Desk Concerts, and he did this record called KKPD, which I hadn't heard before last November. And it was an interesting like fusion of like this old piece of jazz that he composed with one of the songs off of his stretch music album, which was Tantric. So like the drummer did like this really crazy trap flip, right?
Right.
From like the actual snare to like a synth snare, whatever. And I looped it, and you know, he gave context around him being in New Orleans and being pulled over and the police telling him to get, like, to basically strip, get out the car and do all this crazy shit. And he denied it. He said no. And he was being threatened, like his life was being threatened. And thank God a commanding officer came and told him he can go. So he was upset, and that's why he wrote KKPD. I had a similar situation when Darren Wilson was not indicted. I was a part of the BLM LA 7 that shut down a freeway. And all of us had the same charges, but I was the only one they said had a weapon. And the officers wrote that my physical presence was a weapon. So wow. when I heard KKPD,
I mean, like that's just like, wow.
Yeah. It blew my mind. So when I heard,
can I pause you right there real quick?
Yeah.
Did you have anything that could be construed as a weapon other than your body?
No. The officers literally wrote in the box, that's the weapons box, mm-hmm. physical presence. Wow. They wrote it in there. Yeah. So when I heard Kristen Scott, right. I was like, yo, this shit is lit. Like, this is my story, right? So yeah. The words, I pray to be righteous. I pray to be humble. I pray I don't fumble because I don't want to live this life lifeless. But my soul's so sore. The weight of my blackness becomes much more when the police say your presence is a weapon. It's all out war. That's where that came from. And that just like marinated on my spirit for a while, man. And then the verse, so what do you do when you're constantly seen as a threat? What do you do but invest in a vest because your kids need a daddy whose body and soul is intact? They got their eyes on me like food for the slaughter, meat for the carving. They bloodthirsty marksmen. Don't call me a martyr, no. This would be a casualty of war. Don't believe fallacies they're teaching you of me that seem to go. I am a beast that needs to be out of my misery before the whole world wakes up and takes control. Is that what you fearful of? Huh? Man, fuck your fear with the pain I feel. But thank God for my mama and my granny and my family that remind me that the struggle ain't forever. And to weather any weather, gotta do better. And truly got to heal. Mm. I truly got to heal. Mm-hmm. But how can I heal when them bullets in bodies is real? KKPD. And that's that, you know.
I mean, that's fire. I mean, literally. I mean, the hallway is burning right now, y'all. Y'all can't see the smoke.
Yeah, that's that piece, man.
But that healing bit, you know, like that's the piece that, you know, you don't hear a lot about.
Yeah.
You know, and that need to heal.
Yeah.
And so before we get into God, what have been some practices or strategies that have allowed you to kind of begin a journey of healing?
I'm not following the typical archetype of what a quote unquote activist is supposed to be, right? And what the movement is. Like, I appreciate the people who are leading the charge. I don't see myself as one of those people. So when it comes to like every moment I'm looking at social media and looking at like the next person who was killed or this particular case or da da da, like I feel no judgment or guilt that I don't look at that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Nor do I reshare it. Like, I'm at a point right now where I get it.
Right.
I get it. It's happening. Right. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm in the place of like, what am I going to do about it, man? So, like, I think the healing for me is like taking a step back from like being in every single conversation, trying to be in every single place where these conversations are happening, being in these protests, being in and like just getting into a quiet place, man. Also, my existential shit and writing. You know what I'm saying? It's really healing to, and cathartic in a way, to be able to sit and like reflect on what you've all already been through and be grateful that you've made it this far, right? Because I think the moments that we miss reflection, it is really where ego kind of takes over. No matter how valiant you are in the work that you're doing, I think if you're unable to stop and say, man, I have a record called Never Felt Pain. And there's a line where I'm like, have you ever been raided before by the popo when you have your daughter with you, kinfolk, and you pray you don't fit their description, because if you do, then your ass comes up missing, my nigga. Like, if you ain't never, like, sat and, like, reflected on the fact that you made it from LAPD running into your house in the wee hours of the morning, and you made it out of that situation without death, then, like, you are, like, really on the verge of losing it, because you're not being grateful and there's no sense of, like, gratitude and, like, your movement forward, right? So, you know, and I'm not, like, a political pundit. I don't fucking know. You know what I'm saying? I just know for me, I have to stop, man, and hopefully create a body of work that can heal some other folks and maybe the next generation of creative in this type of space, to, like, take a moment, man, and just, like, document what's going on.
Yeah, and I think part of the power of that is that, you know, taking the space to acknowledge that emotional trauma is real.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And, like, it's real. It's not, like, for soft folks. You know what I'm saying? It's real, because we're human beings and we have souls and we have, depending on what you believe, but, like,
right.
We have emotions. At least we can agree on that, right? And there's traumatic things that happen and they affect us, you know? Yeah, and so
absolutely.
Centering healing, you know, I think is powerful, especially absolutely. In the genre of music that you're working in.
For sure, man. And I think also just, like, encouraging people, who, anybody that's listening to this podcast, man, the war was not won overnight. The war will not be won tomorrow.
Right.
No one person has or can change this shit. Like, Jesus even himself was not on the earth alone. Like, he had 12 niggas rolling with him.
Deep.
Two strong women.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. Like, had his mama. Like, he had people rolling with him, man. And you know, it's okay to stop. You can stop right now and shit is going to keep going. Like, this myth that I gotta give 24 hours of my life, every single day of my life, to this movement shit is false, bruh. It's false. So there's guilt that comes when you think, like, man, I can't do it right now, but I gotta, like, bruh, you can stop. You can stop, man. Like,
yeah.
Like, Tubman had to stop because, like, niggas wasn't able to just keep going.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Like, they hadn't done that journey, you know, 50 times.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So, like, it's cool to, like, rest, man. So, I don't know, man. That's my own thing about it. I don't think that's, like, a popular opinion. But at the end of the day, like, that's how I'm able to still be a father to my daughter and you know, like, my unborn children. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm able to, like, I'm going to be here for a second, man.
Yeah. Well, they talk about, you know, King, I think King was 39 when he died, right? Or was killed.
Young, man.
He was young. But I guess what I've heard is, and I haven't verified this, but in the autopsy, it said his heart was like a heart of an 87-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's real.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's really real. Like, we got to take care of ourselves so that we can, you know, continue to do the work.
Absolutely.
You know, because you can't do work when you're dead, you know. Absolutely. And I'm not saying that it was his fault that he died, but I'm saying, like, if I collapse out of exhaustion, you know, I can't do this podcast,
right?
You know, and so I got to do my meditation in the morning to get myself grounded, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's my spiritual practice. Absolutely. That I'm doing. But that has to also be a part of the conception of what activism is. You
absolutely.
Know? That's Agreed. Not waste. That's not a waste of time to Agreed. Take to do those self-care things. So Agreed. I think that, I mean, that's a powerful message.
Yeah, man. It has to be built in, I think, to the infrastructure of this movement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, understanding that, like, I mean, you know, we often talk down about, like, the government and things like that because they, you know, kind of corrupt and fucked up. But, like, kind of corrupt and kind of. But, like, I understand, like, the need of, like, rank and file. I mean, yeah, it's hierarchical. And I know there's other, like, models and shit of how to, like, you know, it doesn't have to be so, like, up, like, top down. But, like, this idea that if this person takes off today or is killed, there's another person ready to make the thing happen. Like, if you take a weekend off or whatever, like, know that there should be somebody else there that can keep the work moving. You know what I'm saying? Like, and building that into the infrastructure of the movement. I don't know. It just saves lives.
Yeah. No.
It saves lives and it saves, like, movements.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. From sometimes from ourselves.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
All right. So, You want to talk about God a little bit?
Man, that shit is dope.
tell us about the lyrics, you know, and like, because I feel like just getting into that intersection again of like what it means to be a black man and what is, you know, God, who is God, what is God, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The homie Arena told me and then blew my mind. She's a really dope photographer and creative. She was like, did you know that melanin is being sold for $370 a gram? I said, I don't even know what the fuck that means. She's like, nah, bro, like Google it. And like, we pulled the laptops, Googled it right then and there. We Googled it. Melanin being traded for $369 a gram.
What does that even mean?
Exactly, dog. I have no fucking idea. Like, I mean, you know, it's being used in like skin treatments and whatever. Like, it's being sold. Somebody synthesized melanin. Unless you can pull melanin from plants, I don't know.
Or people? I mean, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah, I'm like, what?
I don't know, but that shit is being sold, right? Yeah. So, you know, when I perform this record or like I share this record with like my little nephew who's 10, right? And I'm like, what do you think about the song? He's like, Uncle, first of all, like, I know I can't say the N-word, but what do you mean when you say like I'm a god? I'm like, little bro, like, your skin, bruh, is valuable to somebody, right? You're walking gold, man. And I'm like, yo, Mansa Musa of Mali is still held as the richest person to ever walk the face of this earth. He's a black man. Word? Yeah. If the Bible says that we were created in God's image, then technically you look like God. And if our heart is supposed to house our creator, then technically you are God, right? And if the script, and I just go on and on, like, the scripture says that God made us a little lower than the angel, and like, we're supposed to have dominion on this earth, then we are technically God here on earth, of our universe, of our space, of our domain. You know what I'm saying? So that's not anything that's ever been preached on any pulpit that I've been a part of, but, you know, it's something that I think white people are affirmed of easily. It's something that I think, like, white people have always had access to, you know what I'm saying? Whether it's like, hey, white guy, you're a god, or, you know, like, subliminally you see images of a white god, and then you are also like the CEO, and then your daddy also has his hedge fund, and then you can just do anything the fuck you want to do. You can go anywhere you want to go. It's like, wow, you were just the guy, right? Black folks need that same affirmation.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that, so me writing a record and the hook saying, nigga, you're a god, of course, is the take on the book From Niggas to Gods, but also an evolution of the narrative, right? Which is what Bulletproof sought to do, which was a collaboration between me and Foremost, an artist out of LA. It was to evolve the narrative from, like, everybody was like, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot, hands up, don't shoot, in solidarity with Ferguson. But then niggas in Ferguson were like, bro, like, we ain't even doing that no more. Everybody out here trying to do die-ins and shit, like, we're off that. Or people in New York, you know what I'm saying, after Eric Garner or the I Can't Breathe, that became like this solidarity thing. Like, I can't breathe, I can't breathe. And I'm just like, nigga, I don't want to say either of those. I don't want to put my hands up. I don't want to fucking hold a sign or wear a t-shirt that says I can't breathe. How do we affirm ourselves? And so the conversation that Foremost and I had was like, like, what does it mean to have the armor when we're out here in these streets walking,
right? Yeah.
You know, no diss, but shout out to the Dream Defenders. Like, these niggas put a billboard up that had a child wearing a bulletproof vest. I was like, fuck that. I don't want to see that image. I get it, but I don't want to see that.
Totally.
So, like, what else can we do to affirm our people? And so we came up with this idea of Bulletproof that, like, they've tried for generations to kill us, whether it's taking our music, taking our body parts, taking our everything, our communities, whatever, taking our bodies. But they can never kill our soul. Our spirit is bulletproof.
Yeah.
So it's a really spiritual concept.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that, like, spirit is no color. Which is why, like, I'll take the critique. Like, why white folks get to wear bulletproof shirts? Because they're also bulletproof. You know what I'm saying? But, like, but just know that black folk own it. Don't trip.
Yeah.
Buy the shit. You know what I'm saying? So God is in that same vein. You know what I'm saying? Like, the verse is like, I feel like I'm Jesus of Nazareth. No, I'm feeling like Jesus of Nazareth. No man can come to the Father unless they first realize that God is in every man. So what you saying then, nigga, you a God. I roll with the murderers. I fuck with the hoes that'll murder you. And I shop with the hustlers selling that salt to the snail and the dirt to these vegetables. So let's pause right there. Because everybody's like, man, why you, what you mean by that? So like, you know, it's like a play on duality right now, right? Because like Jesus rolled with like the people who were considered the hoes of the community. He was rolling with niggas that had knives when he was getting ready to get arrested and cut off niggas' ears.
Yeah, they went to work.
You know what I'm saying? Like he knew what to do with that piece. And Jesus didn't tell him like, bro, why do you got that piece on you, man? Nah, come on, you about to get me fucked up. He's like, hey, man, just put it away. It ain't time yet.
Not today.
Not right now, bro. And then, like, healed this nigga's ear. Like, dude, Jesus was so true. So, you know, I'm like, if I'm feeling like Jesus right now, then, like, who do I roll with? You know what I'm saying? Like, who do I see God in? So, like, I'm shouting out, I'm bigging up my niggas who have, like, committed their lives to, like, gangbanging and who will kill a nigga at the drop of a word. Women who have maybe sold their bodies for resources and who will kill someone at the drop of a word. Niggas who are figuring out this black market, right? And creating an industry for themselves because jobs are not really that readily available for niggas like us. But they're selling these other, like, they're selling niggas dummy dope. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
They're selling niggas dummy weed, you know what I'm saying, and figuring it out because these whoever, white folks, young, whoever,
college students,
they ready to buy it from a nigga. So, okay. So, I'm going to give you some shit that ain't worth nothing and sell it to you for triple, right? I'm talking to those folks. That's who I roll with.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not, I'm not saying I'm Jesus. I'm just saying I know who I fuck with. So then I pivot from like, because I say I'm feeling like Jesus of Nazareth, right? And then I go into like, but I'm a Northside nigga. Me. I'm from Northside, Georgia, man. Gwinnett County. I'm a Northside nigga from the place where them hogs are quick to hogtie niggas, right? I'm a Big Mac, you a small fry. Elevate your mind, little nigga. My hue is so Howard Hughes. We about to all fly, nigga. And my queens are pristine. Get close to her ark, you may all die, niggas. Sitting on the throne, I'm a god to these little niggas. I'm the high for these little niggas. Mansa Musa Mali, you on Molly? I'm the drug to you little niggas. I'm the plug for you little niggas. Got love for you little niggas and slugs for you little niggas. But I shouldn't have to prove it. So I'm a kick in the door of my movement, screaming out, nigga, you a god. Right? And then I say, they underestimate your dedication. Because first of all, it's like that verse is kind of like this is who I am, this is what I'm about. And it's like for anybody who's like from that drug era, that this drug music want to like come against what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like, bro, I got love for you still. Like, I love you, my nigga.
Right.
But I also got slugs for niggas like you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like the concept that I'm not afraid of you.
Hmm.
Like, you're not going to bully me.
Right.
Because I'm a nice guy. But like, ultimately, like, I'm a kick in this door of the music industry and like, quote unquote, social celebrity with my entire movement with me. Like, and we all screaming out, nigga, you a god. What's up? We here. Right.
Mm.
And it's like, once you see this representation of a new language and a new energy, I believe and I hope that niggas will be like, I fucks with that.
Mm.
Like, let's talk more.
Yeah.
And then I say, they underestimate your dedication, but you got motivation. So you look in their face and say, nigga, I'm a god. They underestimate your dedication, but you got motivation. Look in their face and say, nigga, we a god. For all of the pain and the persecution, We need some restitution. So here's a resolution. Tell them that, nigga, we are gods. For all of the souls that were blown away, let us pray. Ashe. From Rekia Boyd to Freddie Gray, Ayanna Jones, Kendrick McDade, I say, nigga, we are gods. So it's almost like we talking about this war music from Tepo's music, man. It's like, I feel like this is like a tribal moment, like niggas that like gather in the backwoods. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
We put the call out. We kick in the door to the industry, and it's like, hey, y'all, come over here real quick.
Right.
Let's rally up.
Well, the image I have in my head is that the end of that J. Cole video.
Exactly, bro.
You know what I'm saying? Like, exactly. You know, the uprising happens on the plantation.
Yeah.
And they just, you know,
do what they got to do.
Yeah.
And it's like, let's go ahead and buy this fire real quick.
Yeah, let's go back to basics, you know.
And let's talk. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is why we doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
And then ultimately just, like, keeps going, man. And shout out to my little brother, DT, the ruler, for the hook, man. He just, like, he turns up on that hook.
Yep.
And then, you know, just keeps it going. And then the last thing I say is, like, we're going to fight today in my mama's name. Nigga, we are God. So, you know, that record is really to charge us up and shift the narrative.
Yeah. And I think that's what it does. You know, like, I think it's very effective.
Appreciate it.
And so by the time this podcast comes out, the video will be out.
Word.
We'll definitely link to that.
100%.
So final question for you.
Yeah, man.
It's a little bit abstract. I always tell guests this, but, you know, when I say embodied spirituality, mm-hmm. what does that mean to you?
Embodied spirituality.
Yeah.
It's going to a restaurant and being able to acknowledge the person who's taking the trash out, or the person who busts your table, or the person who's digging through the trash can in the back of the restaurant looking for scraps. It's being able to walk in this three-dimensional world and connect to other people based on simply the fact that they too are embodying a spirit. That's it for me.
I think that's a great place to leave it.
Word.
Thank you for coming through.
Man, thank you for having me.
This can't be the last time.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Anytime you need me, bro.
So we want to talk more once the album drops. You know, we want to get you in here and get you to talk further about the stuff and develop it more, because we could go on
100%
for days.
I'm with that too.
Yes.
No, thank you, man. This is a really great conversation that's necessary, man. The hallway is hot, man.
Yeah, literally and figuratively. can you tell folks how to find you?
Yeah,
on the interwebs.
I am Damon Turner on all social media platforms. I A M D A M O N T U R N E R, and the website is greedycity.com. And Greedy City is my platform, and Greedy is an acronym. It stands for a generation righteously enduring to eradicate dying young.
Can we get the bulletproof shirts right now? Are they available anywhere?
No. we're working out, man. We're in the phase right now, man, of really legitimizing ourselves. And you will be able to get a bulletproof shirt from the same site, the wearegreedycity.com.
I got mines, but I'm just saying, if folks want, you know, want to get up on that.
We're ready like to build it out more, man, and have more product to sell. Like, the t-shirt is definitely doing some big numbers, but you know, we want to be able to give folks more than just the t-shirt.
All right, Damon, thank you so much.
100%. Thank you, man.
So once again, we want to thank you for listening to our conversation with Damon Turner here on Embodied. Make sure you go check out his work. The information is in the description. Also, make sure you come back next week and download the next episode of Embodied, which I'm sure you're going to love. So on behalf of the Embodied team, thank you. And we will see you next time. Embodied is produced by Justin Campbell, with production assistance from Carlos Antonio Delgado, Jason Jenkins, and Philip Yaw Dumfries.